Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman, starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Just about the most disastrous thing that can happen to any man is to wake up and find the day has started well. The wife's in a good mood, the papers he ordered have arrived, the sun's shining, the kettle for his first cup of tea boils in seconds, and even the yolk of the egg for his breakfast doesn't split in half when the shell is cracked. Far too good to last. And once he gets to the office, the bubble is going to burst. For Captain Povey, as he settles in his imitation plastic leather chair in his office at Portsmouth, today is one of those days.
Good morning, Captain Povey.
I know it is. That's what's bothering me. From the moment that my eyelids first fluttered open at 7 o'clock this morning, and I watched a little dicky bird on my windowsill, putting his cheeky little head on one side as much as to say, up you get, old sleepy head.
I knew Captain Povey had had it.
Apart from anything else, it's my birthday.
Your birthday, sir? Good gracious, however old are you now?
What?
Many happy returns of the day, sir.
Thank you. And I'm 39.
And time stood still. I do beg your pardon, sir. Actually, I had remembered, and I've got a lot of cards here for you in the morning mail.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. They're underneath this signal. But if you'll take my advice, you'll read the cards first.
Wait! What's in that signal?
Well, they've sailed all the way back from the Antarctic just to honor their shore base commander on the anniversary of...
Trout Bridge, I might have known.
They're coming back, aren't they?
Captain Povey speaking.
Hello. This is intelligence speaking.
Good grief, I don't believe it.
You know, that's the nicest thing anyone said to me all day.
You mean you really are the intelligence section?
Oh, yes. Smart as pink and bright as a button. We've got our fingers on the pulse of what's going on, all right. And if you don't believe me, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Captain, what did you say your name was?
Never mind. What is it you want?
Commander Bracewell wants a word with Captain Povey.
Put him through. Captain Povey speaking.
Bracewell here. Any signs yet?
Signs. Signs of what?
Golly me. Hasn't our signal got you yet? Bad luck, Povey, old man. You're in for a day in the dodgy doodah. Trout Bridge is due back.
Oh, is that all? Yes, I heard about that.
Good show. But have you heard what they're bringing back with them, old man?
My word, I wouldn't be in your shoes when that little armada sailed in.
Armada?
Why, yawn, that got you going all right, didn't it? What? Look, I won't tell you any more now. I'd hate to spoil the surprise. Just keep an eye on your window. Trout should be sailing in any minute now. Toodly boy!
Hello, 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 Commander Bracewell. Hello, hello, hello.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a minute.
Steady as you are, isn't sir?
Now, just a tiny nautical minute. Lieutenant Murray, sir. Leslie is the navigating officer, you know.
Really? After accidentally visiting 17 countries, logging 43,515 miles, and taking nearly a year to complete what should have been a 3-month trip, I was beginning to think that Leslie wasn't so much a navigating officer as the director of a tourist agency.
I've upset you, haven't I?
Yes, Mr. Phillips, you have. Just a modicum.
Just a what?
Modicum. You know, modicum. The place in Devon with Bill Brewer, Jan Stewart, Peter Green, and Uncle Tom Cobby, and whoa! Got it? Modicum fair. Should have been with it. You just haven't got a sense of humour.
No. It's odd, you know. I've never met any of them. They can't be on this ship.
Who can't?
Well, Bill Brewer, Dan Stewart.
He's getting worse, you know. I'm sure he is.
Now, you're just saying that.
No, I really believe it.
Gosh. Wouldn't Mater be proud?
He only listens to his bit. That's his trouble, you know.
Well, it's one of them, sir. Just a minute. I'm sure this conversation started out with a compliment to lovable Lizzie, but he went sour somewhere. Now, what went wrong?
Well, I've no idea, Mr. Phillips, sir, but I do know what would go wrong if you left Dan down a bit without warning the assorted craft we're towing behind us that we're going to alter course.
Oh, yes?
I mean, if you suddenly turn off without mentioning it, one Newfoundland fishing trawler, one Brazilian coastal tug, one Nigerian paddle steamer, and one Chinese junk are going to shunt into each other with so many zoom-clang, cling-clong, clang-clang things that this lump of briny will sound like Clapham Junction.
Eh?
He means before you turn left, you might at least stick your hand out.
Here, or better still, sir, obey the maritime navigationals and sound our router.
You what?
Our router, sir. To let the other poor perishes know what you've got to do.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, then, where's my seamanship manual?
Seamanship manual?
Noddy's book of boats, sir.
Yes, of course.
Page 10, International Regulations for Preventing Collisions at Sea.
Hop, man the boat. Don't be quiet, Bertie. Hasn't hit anything yet.
Yeah, just practicing.
Rule 28, audible warning of changing course. It says a power-driven vessel underway taking any course authorized or required by these rules should indicate that course by the following signals on her whistle.
One blast on your whistle.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. Means that I'm altering course to starboard. Two blasts means I'm altering course to port. And three blasts means I'm going to start.
Yes, but whilst you're doing that, what are we doing?
Well, if you're wise, sir, you'll come with me. Because if you don't, you'll end up in 50 fathoms of bright blue billowy briny, sir.
Oh, nasty.
Quite. Perhaps, Mr. Phillips, you'd get on with your navigating.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Left hand down a bit.
Oot her first, sir.
Oh, silly Leslie. How many oots do I need for that?
Two. Left is the port, so two oots.
Right, well, oot away, Chief.
Blazes, was that last one?
That was the Chinese junk.
Really? Well, there was nothing inscrutable about that ooter.
No, well, there wouldn't be, sir. You see, that junk hasn't got no ooter. That there... that was Abel Seaman Johnson improvising, sir.
Johnson? What was he doing on the junk?
Well, that, so, is her skeleton crew. And a bigger misnomer was never known.
Mr. Phillips, far be it from me to be a nosy Parker about your navigationals, but when you first wanted to left-hand down a bit, it was about a mile back.
What? I see, you don't miss much, do you? Never mind, we'll just have to reverse a bit. Oota-oota three times, Chief, and pull ahead backwards.
I wouldn't advise.
Chief, are you arguing with page 10, rule 28?
No, sir, but
there's three oots on the oota.
Aye, sir. But I would like it placed on record that I didn't advise it.
You know, if Patso keeps doing that, he'll end up with a split personality.
Yeah, and two of them would make four.
All clear, Chief, so pull ahead backwards.
Mr. Phillips, sir, I still wouldn't advise
you. Pull ahead backwards, Chief, that is an order.
Pull ahead backwards it is, sir.
And everybody down.
Page 10, rule 28 of Molly's Book of Boats.
Alternatively, sir, you may have overlooked the slight fact that ships under tow can't go backwards.
What a shame.
Who did it? Who dumped Fatso? Oh, go away, fish. I'm not boarding a ship. Swim somewhere else.
Johnson, be quiet. You're talking. We'll rescue you in a minute.
Who did it? I can't swim.
Oh, dear, that's always been his trouble. He does fuss so.
Well, don't worry, sir. Don't worry. With that load of blubber, he'll never sink unless he's harpooned.
Just the same, I think he ought to do something.
Yeah, well, leave it to me, sir.
Oi! Moby Dick!
Hello. Nobody gave you permission to abandon ship, so stop nattering nautical nonsensicals and nip back aboard your junk.
I can't. I don't know which one it is now.
Well, pick anyone. After what Mr. Phillips has just done to him, they're all junk now.
Well, really, I'm terribly unkind.
You shouldn't have come down to the dockside, Captain Purvey, sir. I know you shouldn't. Your health won't stand it. If Mr. Murray and Mr. Phillips see you as they try to dock, you will make them nervous.
Yes, and they'll have every reason to be. There's a board of inquiry already set up and waiting to find out how Troutbridge managed to collect an international fleet of derelict shipping behind her.
Well, perhaps they felt lonely, sir.
Well, they'll feel a thumping sight lonelier doing 10 years solitary apiece.
Is that what the board has in mind for them, sir?
No, but I have.
Good grief!
I don't believe it! They look like a floating international breaker's yard.
Yes, they do rather, don't they?
Look out! Look out! They're trying to dock and they're coming in much too fast. Take cover! Run for your life, Ben Chasen! Run!
Left hand down.
With engines, huh?
The bridge, number one speaking.
Ah, I'm glad you're in. Starboard lookout here, sir. Lead in seaman Goldstein shuts in. I thought you might like to know we've docked.
We have noticed, actually.
Oh, good. So had I. I'm on the end of a crane.
What? Goldstein, nobody gave you permission to leave the ship.
I haven't yet. But I will if the crane driver starts to winch in.
What are you talking about?
The bit of the crane I'm on the end of is the hook. Swung in from out of nowhere it did. And where it landed, I'm not saying.
Goldstein.
Say, if you want a bit of a clue, I'll tell you this much. There was no welcome being kept for it in that bit of my Welsh inside.
Why? Well, if they do wind you in and you find yourself dancing about in midair, pretend you're doing the Swansea Lake Ballet. Was there something else, Goldstein?
Not for me, there wasn't, sir. But if you was to ask me, which you won't because you never do, but I'm going to tell you anyway, there's certainly something else for you, and it's heading your way at full speed on a collision course.
What is?
Now, you have a bit of a guess. What is it that has a bright purple face, wears four gold rings and has steam coming out of his ears.
Captain Povey in a temper.
That's right, and he'll be up on the bridge any second now.
What?
Just thought I'd mention it, because when he's finished tearing the strip off you, I'd be obliged if you'd remind him that it's high time I was made a petty officer.
That's his trouble, being Welshy halves. Well?
And another thing, I'll lay you 6-4. I get off my hook before you get off yours.
He still wonders why he doesn't get promotion.
Welcome back, gentlemen. You've been away so long, I was beginning to think I'd been forgotten.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, sir. I mean, who could forget you? I mean, forgetting you, sir, would be like forgetting a bit of old England. I mean, you know, like the Albert Memorial. Or Stonehenge, or the Chamber of Horrors at Madame... No. I'm not going to save myself, am I?
Not this time, Mr. Phillips, no. Would it be too much to ask you where the places you have been for the past 11 months?
It's been Hades. And midi-pertitificated Hades. And you it was, sir. You who is saying this to the awful, arduous, agonizing atmospheric orders of the antididactics.
The what?
The antididactics. There we was, sir. Locked in the grip of the icy wastes. Surrounded by icebergs, icebergs, and icicles. 40 below. 40 below it was. And perishing cold upstairs as well. You know, sir, even the snowflakes rattled together to keep warm.
Oh, God, me.
Worse. Oh, yes, sir. Worse was yet to come. We were attacked, sir. We were attacked by thousands and thousands of penguins. Penguins who hadn't seen a handful of bird seed in years. Do you know, sir, one look at us. One look at us, and the word went round every beak in the antididactics, sir. The word went round. Grab up! Swarming all round the ship they were. Swarming, flapping their flippers, and flipping their flappers. Pecking at the portholes, all trying to be first to get a beak full of pertwees.
Go on, what happened?
Fortunately, sir. Fortunately. There were so many of them that the heat of their bodies melted the ice, and we sailed away in the nick of time.
I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe you ever got to the Antarctic.
Well, no, we didn't, sir, but that's what would have happened if we had.
Yes, it would all have been your fault, sir, because you sent us.
Yeah, quite. Frankly, Captain Povey, I think we all deserve a medal.
Oh, you're going to get what you deserve, all right.
A board of inquiry is sitting now and eagerly awaiting your explanation as to where you got the four assorted foreign craft that are clattering up the dockyard behind you.
Oh, them. Yes, well, we got the tug in Brazil. She used up all her fuel towing us off the sandbank, you see. So it seemed only civil to return the compliment and take her in turn.
The fishing trawler got hitched on at Newfoundland, sir. We inadvertently fouled their nets during the night, and by morning we were too far out to sea for them to let go.
And the African paddle steamer became attached to us, sir, when she came too far out to sea after showing us the way back down the Zambezi.
And what about the Chinese junk?
Oh, yes, well, she came from Hong Kong, sir. And don't come into the argument at all, because she's Pertwee's private property.
What? You mean you bought her?
No, sir. Won her, sir. At Fan Tan. Now, I'd just as soon not have a board of inquiry about that, if you don't mind.
Yes, I can imagine.
And now, one last question. What happened to the crews of these four ships?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing about that, sir. As soon as they found out it was Troutbridge towing them, they all abandoned ship.
I wonder why. Well, gentlemen, I think I can say that I've heard more than enough.
You mean we're free to go, sir?
Oh, yes. You're free to go. To the Admiral's flagship at the double.
Well, if you want to come in, open the blasted thing.
Excuse me, Admiral.
Well, in your case, Povey, one tries.
Shut up and sit down.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. But there doesn't seem to be a vacant chair, sir.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, do I have to do everything myself? Flags!
Sir?
Go and take a running jump.
Certainly, sir. At once, sir. Your wish is my command, sir. At the double, sir. Goodbye, sir.
Right, well, there you are, Povey. Now you can use his chair. Jam your back against that broken porthole. I can feel a draft.
Very kind, sir. Thank you very much.
Right, wheel the idiots in.
Lieutenant Murray, sir.
And Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, sir.
This is Captain Hardcastle.
How do you do? Just answer the question, stand up straight, speak when you're spoken to, we'll get through all this nonsense for tea time.
And this fool is Commander Weatherby from security.
How do you... How do you... Delighted to make your... Glad to...
He's on form today. Stop finishing the tea time. This will take till supper.
I'm doing my best.
In that case, it'll be breakfast time tomorrow.
Leave off. I've still got to introduce that idiot at the end, whatever his name is.
It's Captain Atchison. Atchison.
Bless you.
Thank you very much. But I'm afraid it won't make the slightest difference. Unfortunately, I'm suffering from a particularly vicious attack of hay fever.
Oh, what a shame. I don't think there's anything worse.
There is, you know. There is. Sometimes he gets hiccups at the same time.
Oh, nasty.
Right, well, that's got the introductions over. Now, which of you idiots wants to ask the first question?
Well, I've got one. How did you manage to pick up a Chinese junk in the Antarctic?
Oh, that belongs to Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, sir.
Yes, you see, he met this geisha girl, and she took him to a fan-tan game.
And that's where he won her.
Yes, so we gave him permission to tow her back.
Because we thought it would be rather fun to sail around and round Portsmouth Harbour.
Hey-op. How's he going to sail a geisha girl around Portsmouth Harbour?
He won't have to, you see, because she can swim. I mean, she's got a great big square sail. That is, she could dry herself on a kimono. Do you think we can have the next question?
To hell with it, I pass.
Anything from you, Atchison?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I do have one question. I'd like to know under what circumstances they happen to discover a geisha girl in the Antarctic!
Would you mind sneezing that again?
Perhaps it would be better if I figure it out for yourself.
He tried to become an announcer in the BBC, you know. He was too tall.
I think I'm going farming.
Aren't we all, Admiral? Aren't we all?
Well, perhaps, sir. In the circumstances, you'd prefer me.
I wouldn't prefer you in any circumstances. So shut up and get on with your draft stopping.
With pleasure, sir.
In any case, she came from Japan.
Eh?
Who did?
Oh, the geisha girls.
Then what the hecky thump is she doing sailing round around Portsmouth Harbour?
No, perhaps. Maybe she could possibly. Oof, fitter with an outboard motor.
If I could make a suggestion, it's my opinion that the evidence so far has been a tissue.
We'll not stop him now.
A tissue of lies.
He sets them up for himself, doesn't he? Go on, have one for luck, go on.
Hang it
off! Reaping ivy's a blasted epidemic.
Right, that's it then.
Anything from you, Povey? You're the idiot who started all the nonsense.
Yes, sir, I've got a great deal to say. Start with, I...
Issue! Oh, I knew it. This bone-headed Atchison is infectious.
It's not him, sir. It's you.
Eh?
It's you. I got this lot from stopping up your blasted draft.
Well, that's it. I've had enough. The board will adjourn to the wardroom to consider its findings. You two idiots from Troutbridge can hear our conclusions from Captain Povey in his office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Good morning, Heather. What sort of mood is Captain Povey in?
Colorful. His face is red, his temper's black, and his language is blue.
Oh, I take it he's had the findings of the Board of Inquiry.
Oh, he's had them, all right.
Come in, if you dare.
It started well.
Oh, come on.
My congratulations, gentlemen. You actually got here on time. However, after your recent worldwide travel, I suppose the short journey from Troutbridge to my office was a mere nothing. Well, we did take one wrong turning, actually.
Where was that?
Into your office, sir.
We understand you've had the findings of a board, sir.
Oh, I have indeed, number one.
What, if you insist on telling us, were they, sir?
I was found guilty.
Eh? What? Pardon?
Guilty of what, sir? I was found guilty of failing to adequately stop the draft from a broken porthole, creating a hazard to shipping by continuously swimming around Portsmouth Harbour in a geisha girl's kimono, and attempting to quarantine the Admiral's flagship by sneezing without authority to do so.
Oh, hard luck, sir.
What about us, sir? They couldn't even remember your name.
I hardly like to mention it, sir, but what about the ships we towed back, sir?
Somehow, number one, you have been credited with salvage for them.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Very right and proper, too. How much?
Simmer down, Chief. By simple mathematics, after deducting the cost of the damage you have done from the amount of salvage, you have been awarded the princely sum of 5 shillings.
5 shillings? Oh, lucky old us.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. We can give it to you. We weren't going to go round the ship and collect a penny for every year of your age, so you could buy yourself a birthday present.
We would have done it yesterday.
But if you remember, we would otherwise occupy time.
Yeah, and you seem too busy stopping drafts.
Well, really, how very kind. You, 5 shillings. A penny for every year of... I am 39.
Yes, well, congratulations, sir. In that case, you owe us one and ninepence change. Not to panic, sir. That still leaves you with 3 and 3pence.
Get out!
Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been towing the Navy Lark back for a new series of programs written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Tenniel Evans, Captain Hardcastle was Ronnie Barker, and Captain Atchison was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.